Blog Talk Radio.
Help me out a bit on this.
Don't let that flag hit the ground.
Make it rain.
Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, the chiropractors of conservatism, the madmen of motivation, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. Feel us coming for you, Obama. What about you, Corker? Feel us breathing down your neck, Dewhurst? You rhinos are gone. We're going to kick the dogs on you, Obama. You're done, boy.
Daddy and Uncle Bing.
I'm sorry. Everybody on the show here.
You're a bad boy.
Oh, I couldn't. I locked up or something, man. I don't know what happened, but we'll get straightened out. Anyways, welcome to Soldiers of Patriotism. And I don't know if Teresa's back here or not. Rick, I got you on here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. I just had a meltdown.
Another problem. Yeah, what I was going to say was that I was going to, because I'm already logged into the studio, I was going to jump on as host until you got back.
Oh, well, thank you, brother.
Yeah, another problem. Hey, it's the best I can do for the best radio station here on Blog Talk.
Yeah, and for a newbie, too, huh? I got nerves.
You know what? That's okay. We're all in one time. Hell, on my first show, for the first few minutes, I could not listen to my own opening song. Turned out I had the volume down. So, hey, there's always a little something called Murphy's Law. You know,
right, and stuff happens.
Yeah,
you know?
And also just when you think you have all the answers, somebody done goes and changes the questions.
Teresa, my lovely talented co-host, are you doing?
I'm over here panicking, like, where did everybody go?
I know. I don't know. I'll get used to it, I guess. But, yeah, we got a great show, man. I've got a couple great callers in. Mm-hmm. And welcome to Soldiers Patriotism. And I got to tell you, Teresa, you are like the talented Twitter queen co-host.
Thank you.
Rick, you are the rock star, Rick Bulo, producing the show. And thanks, Teresa and Rick, for your help, man, because – Michael's on the road, and I don't know what I'm doing here halfway. I got a couple things up there, and I figured out some stuff to do. But yeah, we got a wild show for you today, but I want to take maybe about 10 seconds. I know we did have some dead time there at the beginning, but I want to take about 10 seconds for a prayer for the people in Aurora, Colorado, for the families and the people that died there from this lunatic. So if we could just have 10 seconds real quick. Amen.
Amen.
I hope the best for their families, and whatever we can do, we'll try to help. First off, we'll go into the shooting and so on, the comments, you know, the ABC network, you know, that just went up in ear about, you know, this was a Tea Party guy that did this. And all they did was they sat there and they looked up his name and they found a bunch of people's names and they just picked it out,
yeah,
you know, from the butt or from the air. This is ridiculous, man. This is not even honest reporting.
Oh,
ABC
no.
ABC lost my respect years ago, many, many, many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't even know why people even still listen to them, but they get press, you know. They are the press.
Yeah, one thing that I had mentioned on my show yesterday, because I played both the Obama speech and the Romney speech, I mean, Romney just looks more presidential. As a matter of fact, I had heard from a few people on Facebook that speech had actually won them over for Romney.
You know, and Becca Lowe wrote a piece on that exact thing you're speaking about, Rick, on Own the Narrative, and that's exactly what she's talking about. It was a pivotal moment in his campaign. So,
I mean, yeah, and for those of you in the chat that don't know the piece that Becca had done, what I'll do is I'll drop that in the chat so you can read it.
Mhm. It was a really good piece, and you know, and I haven't seen anybody else really speaking out on that. You know how well Romney appeared. You know, the whole thing with Obama speaking, it was I can't listen to him, and I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, just turn him off. Because, I mean, he brings up something as irrelevant as his two daughters perhaps could have been in a theater. Well, his daughters have Secret Service protection, so he can't relate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, somebody in my chat room yesterday, sorry about that, Fred, somebody in my chat room yesterday had basically said that, you know, Obama's children have the theater in the White House, so they don't have to go too far.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, if it's all right with both of you, there is one clip. It's 2 minutes long from some guy named Drinking with Bob. I don't know if you had seen his videos on YouTube, but I mean, he says it all in just 2 minutes. If you don't mind,
I haven't seen it.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
What's next? I'll tell you what's next. A tragedy happened in Aurora, Colorado last night. A 24-year-old kid went into a movie theater that was premiering the Batman movie. He was armed to the teeth. He wound up killing 13 people and injuring 50. Right away, the media had to turn it into a political incident. ABC News came out and said the kid was part of the Tea Party. Turns out he's not. Mayor Bloomberg came out and said Mitt Romney and Barack Obama have to make stricter gun laws in this country. Let me tell you something. This incident had nothing to do with politics. It had nothing to do with gun laws. I don't care if we had stricter gun laws or looser gun laws. This kid was going to do what he was going to do. He's crazy. He didn't go into the movie theater, stand in front of the audience and say, give me all your money or I'll kill you, giving somebody the opportunity to shoot him. He stood in front of the audience in a full costume. People thought he was part of the show. By the time people realized he wasn't part of the show, it was too late to shoot him. There was pandemonium in the theater. God knows who your bullet would have hit. I mean, this is like some guy walking up and down the aisle of a Wiggles show dressed in all yellow. If he decides to pull down his pants and expose himself, I don't care how many hands you have, you're not going to be able to cover your kid's eyes before the damage is done. The only way this is a political issue, if people want to use it to force Colorado to use the death penalty in this case, because this 24-year-old kid should be in a freaking box. He shouldn't be sitting sitting in a jail cell for the next 50 years being taken care of by the freaking taxpayer. And the fallout from this whole thing, now the NYPD is going to be at every showing of Batman tonight. Paris, France has canceled the premiere of the Batman movie. Why? They're afraid of copycat killers. You want to end copycat killers? I'll tell you how you do it. Don't put a picture of this 24-year-old kid on TV. Don't put his name on TV. Don't make him a folk hero to the clinically insane in this freaking world. I'm sick of the freaking media using every tragedy in this country as a freaking ratings bonanza, as a freaking political tool. It's disgusting, and I'm sick of it. I'm freaking sick of it. What's next? What's next? What's next?
Well, great.
Just busted, I mean, it all, doesn't it?
Pretty much. I mean, you know, the media is taking this into, you know, they're trying to psychoanalyze this guy and trying to get into his head and what you know,
mm-hmm.
his background was, or, you know, he was a Tea Party member. Well, you know, we all know that he was probably an OWS member because we've seen videos of him being carted away, you know. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, but the media is so irresponsible in this because all they have to do is throw it out there, and then the next thing, they don't care. They throw it out there, and, you know, let the people argue about it. You know, let somebody else sit there and try to figure out what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's irresponsible, and I think it's almost treasonous because we got the media that's in charge of reporting things, and they're not reporting what they should be reporting, which is the news. They become an op-ed type of piece, you know, every day. And it's all the media, really, in my opinion. This guy was a raving lunatic, okay? He was a raving lunatic. And that's, you can't get into somebody's head from that.
There's a blog piece. I don't know the name of the blog offhand, but it's a private investigator, Bill Warner Crime. He's licensed in several states, and he did a profile on this guy. So a lot of the stuff he's saying doesn't line up with the way other, you know, people who've gone through these types of, you know, state, you know, killing people, mass murdering people this way. So.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't add up.
They want to talk about his affiliations, too. You know, they want to talk about, well, he was a member of the Tea Party. He wasn't, okay, but they want to talk about it. But let's put it in this perspective. He was a member of the medical community going through medical school, so maybe there's some kind of connection there, huh?
Well, there was something mentioned in another, I don't think it was that Bill Warner piece, but this was an article that I posted on Twitter and got some flack for it, but it said something where he might have been subjected to neuropsychological experiments because he was in the neuroscience, getting a PhD in neuroscience. So who knows? There's a lot of things to be uncovered in the investigation of this. So
yeah, but for Pete's sake, I mean, you know, come on. You know, we can sit there and speculate all day long. The guy was just a lunatic. I mean, I don't see any, you know, difference in that, you know.
Well, it'll just be interesting to get to the bottom of it if that's the objective of law enforcement. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Rich, do we have Aaron on? Aaron Goldberg?
I don't know. I did see a few callers on when I had at first logged in, but I thought that you had screened them.
No, I'd seen George come on here. We got a 203 area code. Who's that?
I don't know. Let's bring him in.
It's me. It's Aaron. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes. It's Aaron. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we couldn't hear your name, I think.
It's Aaron.
Aaron?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Aaron is going to read a little blog that he put up. Great blog. And Aaron, you went to Arlington recently, right?
Yeah, so I was in Washington yesterday, and so I went and visited Arlington Cemetery for the first time, which I think is definitely a site that everybody should visit because it's extraordinarily powerful.
It really is.
And I have a blog called eyeonfreedom.com, EYEonfreedom.com. And so I wrote a short post, and I posted a number of pictures, and there's a link on there. And if you don't mind, yeah?
Go for it, brother. Read your blog. Go for it.
I was just going to say, so the first impression that hits you when you visit Arlington is its vastness. Divided into 70 sections, spanning over 60 acres, and interring almost 300,000 American servicemen and women, it's impossible to take in from any one vantage point. At the same time, it's very park-like and serene. And though populated with officer corps initially, it's very much a people's cemetery, with officers interred beside enlisted men. I came upon the grave of a former Secretary of the Army and a Bronze Star recipient, buried beside enlisted men with a standard tombstone adorned only with a cross. Arlington is also very much an active cemetery, holding over 100 funerals a week. I passed a family singing happy birthday and celebrating the birthday of a loved one, and a woman sitting quietly in a beach chair in the rain spending time with her loved one. There's a series of long roads that begin at the base of the cemetery and wind their way to the apex, up a steep hill where the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier rests. Engraved on the mausoleum is the inscription, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." Acknowledgement that we're a religious nation at our core, we take comfort in God in times of sadness and loss. Behind the tomb is a small museum containing medals of honor for unknown soldiers fallen during World Wars I and II, and the Korean and Vietnam Wars. The vastness of Arlington and the totality of the sacrifice is what imbues the visit with meaning. Whether fighting the Axis powers in World War II, 20th century communism, or the Islamofascists of the 21st century, every American interred at Arlington is united in his love of country and the freedom we hold dear. The totality of this awe-inspiring devotion should inspire the rest of us to fight every effort to, quote, fundamentally transform America into something other than the freedom-loving constitutional republic we adore. We owe it to the men and women who rest here and their families who have sacrificed the unimaginable. And there's a link to a number of pictures that I took describing some of this as well. But I would just say that if you're ever in Washington and you have a spare couple of hours, it's definitely worth the trip because it helps everybody appreciate what unites us as a country. I was just in Washington visiting a friend for a couple of days, and we were walking around. So the day before, we visited the new Capitol Hill Visitor Center. And there's a movie, and the theme of the movie is E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. And so the idea is to keep mentioning that Congress is works because all the voices around the country, all the disparate voices around the country come together and compromise, and that's how we become one nation. And I think the next day I visited Arlington, and I think that the saying is more apt when you think of Arlington, when you see Arlington, because these are people that fought for freedom for over 200 years, and this is this thirst for freedom and this love of freedom is what unites this country, and unites these people who, fought for it and sacrificed, played the ultimate sacrifice for it for generations. And I think, that more than anything else is what really makes us all American. And so I highly recommend it as a trip worth taking for anybody who's in the area.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
If you want to refer to the blog, it's ionfreedom.com, and I've written other things there as well.
Well, put a post down in the chat, if you're in the chat, and ionfreedom.com. Please visit there. Great blog post, and that had to be inspirational, man. That just had to just knock you out.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say the woman in the chair in the rain was just, you know, it's on the one hand, it's heartwarming that there are so many, that, you know, you look around, you literally cannot see from one end of this place to the other, no matter where you are, even if you're at the top of this very tall hill. And, you know, so there are all, on the one hand, that there are all these patriots over the years, and this is just but a small fraction of them, you know, who fought and died for this, for the idea of this country. And at the same time, it was just so sad that there are all these families who had to pay this sacrifice to, and will continue to pay the sacrifice because they understand the, you know, the evil that we're up against. And she was just an ordinary woman who was just sitting there alone, spending time with her husband or her son or whomever, and it was, I don't know, it was both very heartwarming and very sad at the same time. So it's a very, very powerful appearance.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about Michael, you know, going over to the Alamo. I've been to the Alamo once, and it's just it's a fantastic type of experience. Because when you look at the Alamo in the movies, you know, it's this big, vast thing. There's nothing around it. But when you get to it in the city, it's fenced in. It's, I don't know if that's to keep people in or keep people out, really. But it's a weird experience, in my opinion. It was back when I went to it. But going to Arlington, that has to be, I mean, I bet you could spend a week there and not see everything.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, they give you a map, and I was just walking around, and some of these, like this former Army Secretary's tombstone, I just happened to come across it, but I was looking at the map afterwards, and there were, you know, quite a number of other, you know, prominent Americans over the years and various memorials that I realized I missed that I hadn't been looking for.
Yeah, a lot of them are right in front of your eyes. You just don't see them.
Yeah. And there's a Persian Gulf section. So people who supposedly died in, you know, fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. I guess Afghanistan is considered the Persian Gulf, but whatever. But it's not that people are strictly buried there. I mean, people get buried all over. In the beginning, there are some, you can tell, you know, what the very first sections were, you know, where people were. I mean, it was founded, I believe, after the Civil War, and so there are some sections where there clearly are, you know, older, you know, much older soldiers, and where the tombstones are not all uniform. So now they're all essentially uniform, but you know, this guy was a Bronze Star recipient, and he was buried next to, I don't remember, and I just happened to come across it just walking around. He didn't have a monument next to his name. I was just looking, and so
right.
That's why I say it's what unites us, because you know, here was here was this guy who was, you know, advising the President of the United States, and yet he's among the soldiers he commanded.
Well, it sounds like you had a great trip out there, Aaron, and I'm glad to have met you on Facebook, and I'm glad that you shared your experience with us today.
Thanks.
Dude, where are you from? What state are you from?
I'm from the Northeast.
Well, look, any friend of Michael's is a friend of mine, so... anytime you want to get on this show, you know, you just give us a call, man.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'll tell you what, man, I want to go to Arlington. I want to see it. I want to experience. I want to be there, you know. Right now, though, I'm trying to get another caller on the line here. But anyways, while I'm waiting for him.
Aaron,
thank you so much. Yeah, I can hear you. Kurt?
Yo.
Yeah, Kurt, where's that brother of yours over there, Fred?
I'm here, if you can hear me.
Fred?
I'm here.
I thought he was here. Go, Fred.
Fred, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. I didn't see a name, so... Yeah, go ahead. Fred,
Yeah.
movement. The guy's pretty remarkable, man. You know, built up Trad-Am to the point where it is, and actually built his own home. And I'll let him explain that. But Fred, you got the mic, man. Come on. Tell us what Trad-Am is, where it started, what happened, if you want to. Or, you know, where we go from here, what we stand for.
This is going to be interesting, brother. I'm glad that I'm on, but I'm getting a double broadcast, so I'm hearing everything that's said twice.
Yeah, like I said in the chat, I mean, I think your best bet would be to mute whatever player you have the station on.
Well, I have everything muted. I can mute. I'll just.
Yeah, because if you look, log out of the BTR site, then you won't be in the chat.
No, I understand that. I've got everything muted, and I'm still getting a double feed. I'll just see what I can do. What? I'm still hearing Rick. I can't tell whether it's you or...
See, I'm not hearing a double feed, but...
Me neither.
Yeah,
no,
not either.
So just take your headphones off, Brad, and just speak through the microphone or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I can't... There isn't anything coming from the computer. It's coming strictly through the headphones. Where do you want me to start, Ben?
The best place to start is always at the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. I think one of the questions is, what is a traditional American? I keep using that term, and we use it all the time. Is that where you want me to go, Guy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Your mic's hot, man. Go ahead. It's your floor.
All right. When I was growing up, I was called a normal American. Everybody knew, everybody that I knew, and every person in society admired, loved America, and was proud of being an American. We knew that our representatives, for the most part, did as we directed, kept taxes low, respected and loved God, motherhood, and baseball. And we all knew the words of meaning behind our national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance. We were Americans. About the time I graduated from high school, after that fat, ugly guy beat the UN podium with his cheap shoe, the hippies appeared to declare the establishment so over. The stolid old-fashioned traditions of Christian morals, right and wrong, traditional or national pride held by conservatives were disdained by the flower children. So I enlisted for war, and they marched in the streets against us. Now I was a warmongering xenophobe and a prejudiced, narrow-minded conservative. The protesters were liberals. As the hippies went to the streets and then to the faculties, from the faculties to the lamestream media and the Democrat Party, I remained a conservative. I was among the abnormal fringe, right wing, part of a much maligned bunch of flag-waving patriots of a bygone age. So, over. The odd thing was I hadn't changed my views or ideals since back when I was a normal American. I still believe that America, as I knew her, is the greatest nation in the history of man.
God bless that remark.
I still believe in God and Judeo-Christian morality, in the absolute value of the nuclear heterosexual family. Anyone who argued against America in my presence still had a fight on their hands with an opponent who'd never learned how to quit. Too dumb, I guess. I recognized years ago that too many good American citizens had disengaged from their duty as citizens. Too many were willing to ignore the tyranny of the ever-expanding government in the hands of self-serving politicians. I didn't have a voice that reached beyond my friends and associates, and I felt powerless. The new media changed all that for us. We have no more excuses. We must rise to our duty as citizens and fight for the nation here at home. I call myself a traditional American so others can recognize me as a citizen who believes in America's founding principles. Our tradition, I found the label doesn't recall the media applied stigmas that have become attached to all of us conservatives. Am I also a conservative? Of course. And anyone who gets in a conversation about the state of our nation for more than one sentence with me knows that immediately. Neat thing is they're still making conversation instead of just drawing preconceived conclusions. We're called to our duty as citizens to awaken our fellow Americans, enlist them in the fight, and raise the strongest voice ever heard for the real Americans to stand in line, never yield our place until victory is etched in the granite of the heart of our nation once again. We will not be ruled. Get it?
Oh, yeah, we got that. Great, man.
Oh, yeah.
Great. What's to come? What's to come, Fred? What are we looking for? What do we want as traditional Americans?
Hello?
Hey,
Rick, it's Michael. What's up?
Hey, Michael, not much. What's up with you?
I'm on the road heading back to Fort Worth to San Antonio.
I'm getting Rick and Michael's conversation going here. Is it just coming through mine?
He just came on.
Park me and let Fred finish. Just park me and let me listen.
No, go ahead, Mike.
No, I want to hear. Go. It's y'all's. Y'all go. I'll come on later on. I just got to hear it.
Yeah,
I'll hear it.
Yeah, I'll drop him in the bullpen, so to speak, so you can finish, Fred. Dude, it is interesting.
Fred, go ahead. Where do traditional Americans, as you speak, go from here?
Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Well, basically, we set up our website not because we are the only traditional Americans. We set it up because the whole movement that everybody calls the Tea Party now isn't just limited to the Tea Parties. You know, we're all Tea Partiers in here, or most of us are, but the fact of the matter is there are an awful lot of Americans, and probably most Americans, who may not identify themselves as Tea Partiers because of the smears the media has put on us. But
yeah, look at it recently with this lunatic killer.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
They managed to put an extremist name on the Tea Parties, but they can't do that with traditional Americans. It's a term that they, if you think about it, they've always avoided going straight at our traditions. They go around it. They try to do something else. And I still haven't had anybody, when I get into a conversation and they ask me what I am and I tell them I'm a traditional American, I haven't had anybody say, me too. I mean, I haven't had anybody not say, me too. Everybody understands it instinctively. And the left wing doesn't. And the left wing won't claim it because they can't.
Yeah, I mean...
They can't claim it because there is no owner of it. The owner of it is the American people.
Well, they don't feel it. Everybody would shout them down if they did try to claim it. You know, they're pretty much the opposite.
We are the opposite, and the thing is that we have to get more people that are out there watching ABC, MSNB, Screw Up Your Life TV, and you know, the cable shows, and so on. We have to get them informed. We have to get them off of that. It's like crack or something, or heroin, to, in my opinion. I mean, you know, I sit there and I listen to these people, you know, all day long, in and out, you know, talking about, well, you know, this guy, we have to psychoanalyze this guy that killed these people. We have to, well, you know, Barack Hussein Obama. Well, another case in point is you got Nancy Pelosi sitting there saying that Mitt Romney should release his tax returns, which I guess he did. But, you know, you got her up there going, and she won't release hers. But she goes, well, I'm not running for president. You know, comes up with some kind of, you know, is this woman, like, you know, still in, like, childhood or something? Or did she, like, do too much, you know, drugs or something like that to put her back in childhood? I don't know. I don't figure her out, man. I don't know what she's talking about, where she can't release her tax returns, but somebody running for president is supposed to release his. Well, we don't even have the transcripts on Obama being in school, in college. We don't have nothing about him. What do we know about this guy? For all we know, this guy is the Manchurian candidate, the Dalai Lama. You know, we just keep going on and on with this stuff with the media. And they can keep throwing out whatever they want to, and we have to sit there and try to defend it. And it's
what we need to do. What we need to do, I think, is ignore them.
Well, we can ignore them, or we can attack them.
Yeah.
We can waste time attacking them and make them feel like they're important enough for us to attack. The fact of the matter is, we are the majority in America. They represent about 20%. They just happen to have a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
And the simple thing, if we can get people on talk radio and some of the major national hosts to just use the term traditional Americans, people will understand it. And we set that website up so as a place to talk, because there's been, in this movement, there's been way too much turf wars and too many people trying to claim their leaders and so forth. We need a central place where everybody can come. They can come in on whatever colors they're wearing. You know, they can come in as 9/12ers or gun rights activists or Tea Party patriots or you name it.
Yeah.
And they can promote their own efforts right there on our site. But it's a common place. It's a common ground, and that's what we really want that to be.
Yeah. You know what? And you know, being Fred. Those of you on traditional, on Chat Am, I would like to invite you to check out ownthenarrative.com.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get over there, Rick, but it's just, man, I'm so busy with some
other
stuff. I will get over there, brother. I will get over there.
I mean, like, you know what, being all you have to do is, I mean, you know, you don't even have to check out the shows the first time, you know, just check out the blog entries, because, I mean, like, Billy posted her blogs there, I blog there every now and then, you know, Michael posted a couple of blogs on there.
Yeah, speaking of Michael, let's bring him in real quick, man.
Yeah, let's see.
Michael, you're live, brother.
Hang on, guys. I'm going to try something here. I'm going to see if I can plug into my car speakers and y'all can still hear me. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh, this might be...
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, man, great show. Uncle Bing, you're doing awesome. Rick, TB, you guys, I really appreciate y'all stepping up today. And Fred, I'm a traditional American, and thank you for inviting me, you and Uncle Bing, to be a traditional American on traditionalamericanmovement.com. I think I tout it every week and have been since I've become affiliated with you guys. And, mm-hmm. you know, Rick's right on the narrative. It's a great website, but and nothing against it. I go in there and drop in from time to time, but my home is traditionalamericanmovement.com, and I love it. I'm comfortable there. I'm comfortable with the people, and I really, really enjoy it. And Rick is right. On the Narrative is a great show, and it's a great affiliate with Conservative Nation radio shows. Justin Kendall should be commended for what he's doing over there.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact,
there has been a lot of wonderful stuff going on over there. As a matter of fact, we have just gotten off of U-Street to a whole new area.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, I'm just wanted to touch base and say hi. We're on the road, and then just if y'all just park me and put me on mute so I can turn the radio up and you don't get feedback. But I just want to tell y'all a little bit about my weekend. Angela and I drove down Friday morning to San Antonio. We stayed across the street from the Alamo in Hotel Indigo Alamo, which on Facebook I posted a little map, and it showed the original fortification area. And our room was actually within what have been the original bounds of the 1836 fortification on Wall 1, which was Travis's position. This was a remarkable event for me and for all Texans, and, well, really for all Americans. But, you know, we as Texans, we're a little bit big-headed, and we don't deny that. We know we are, and we know we talk a lot of doo-doo. But to us, the Alamo is sacred grounds. And, you know, that's where it's really not the cradle of the birth of Texas as a republic. But, you know, it stood for so much, what Bonham and Travis and Crockett and Bowie. You know, I say it often, that ground is hallowed and sacred because those men and 196 others, you know, they gave their lives in the cause of human liberty. And yesterday, we came together as a Tea Party movement, as, you know, Fred was just talking about the Tea Party, and we're all brothers and sisters in this movement across this great country of ours, and we here in Texas came together and we rallied on those hallowed grounds in the same cause, the very same cause that they gave their lives for in 1836. Now, of course, we're doing it peacefully, and we had some great speakers. We had guys like Ray Myers, who heads up the Tea Party movement up in Dallas, and Ken Mercer, he spoke to us about education, and Tom Falken, who was our former workforce commissioner, wrote a great book called Bringing America Home. I highly recommend everybody Google it and get the book. It's, you know, it's a $15 book. It's a short read, and it's a great book, and you'll learn a lot. David Welch spoke to us about religious freedom, and we had Jonathan Sains there from the Liberty Institute. We had Dr. Donna Campbell, who's running for office down here. She's a healthcare doctor. Spoke to us about healthcare issues, and Dr. Robert Lowry, who gave us a brief 5-minute summary of what the Supreme Court did and the actual bill itself. You know, he did in 5 minutes. It took about 16 minutes for the actual main portion of the battle here at the Alamo. And, you know, he gave that 3,000-page or whatever it is, bill. He did it in about 5 minutes. It was impressive. Wayne Christensen, a good, strong, solid conservative who got redistricted out of his seat here by Joe Strauss. One of the reasons we're going to take Joe Strauss out this year and put Brian Hughes in his place. But Barry Smitherman was there, actually walked up to me and tapped me on the shoulder from behind and said, "Man, I love what you're wearing." I was in my kilt, had my cowboy boots on, my cowboy hat, and a Ted Cruz T-shirt, and my face was painted like the Texas flag. And, you know, you've got all these Tea Party, all of us, quote-unquote, radical Tea Partiers down there mixed in with all of these tourists. And someone asked me, what was the significance of the kilt? There wasn't any. My logic, and you guys all know me well enough to know how I think, I bring attention to myself in a kilt with cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and my face painted like the Texas flag wearing a Ted Cruz T-shirt. People are going to pay attention to me.
Exactly.
Well, what they're paying attention to is they're paying attention to my shirt that says Ted Cruz. We had people that were down there from all over the state, not necessarily with us, that were down there on vacation. They would stop. They would listen. And then they would politely tap me on the shoulder and say, "Can we get a picture?" Gave me an opportunity to speak to them and reinforce getting out and voting starting tomorrow for early voting here in Texas.
Mm.
Or getting out on the 31st of July and casting your vote for Ted Cruz, or if you've got a runoff in your district. It was great. It was just an awesome event. And then David Dewhurst got up there. We were very polite to him. He got a mild reception. There was some booze to be expected. But he got a mild reception. And oddly enough, we were surprised that he even came to a Tea Party event, but he gave the best speech he's ever given. If he'd have been doing this for the last year, he might be in different shoes right now. But he's not. And I'm afraid to say, after listening to him speak, I got the impression that he'd almost come to terms with the fact that he knows he's going to lose. Now, I could be wrong. It really depends on turnout. But if we turn out the Tea Partiers in Texas tomorrow and Tuesday during early voting, and then on the 31st, we're sending Ted Cruz, former Solicitor General from the Great Lone Star State, to the United States Senate up there with Pat Toomey, Senator Lee, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Jim DeMint, Senator Marco Rubio, and the half a dozen constitutional conservatives that are up there. We're going to reinforce. We're going to do what we can from the Great Lone Star State, guys. But I don't want to tie up your show, Bing. You're doing a great job. I've got a website I want to introduce everybody to a little bit later on when I get home. It's great for us social media pushers, conservative pushers. So, great job. I mean, if you got any questions, I'll answer them. But, man, y'all move on and chug along. Just park me so I can listen.
Oh, man. You know, great. Great. I'm glad you had such a great time, man.
Well, it was a blast. And I wish all y'all could have been there with me, Texan or not. You know, it would have been just freaking awesome to have my friends, you know, that are in the circles that I run in. It would have been great to be there shoulder to shoulder with you guys, the sword of freedom in one hand, the Constitution in the other.
Hmm.
We were with you in spirit, Michael.
Yes, sir, you were, Brother Shouse. You sure were.
And we've also got a man in going up for a U.S. Senate against Bob Corker up here called Zach Postovich, and we need to get him promoted too. So, and he's moving.
Yeah, we
up.
Need to do all we can for Zach. That's Zach Postovich for Senate.com. We need to get some. We need to do a money bomb for that man.
Yeah, we all need to do everything. I went to Chattanooga today, Mike. Your feet
are
pretty bad.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Bing, and then if you can just park me, brother, when I get home, I'm going to do it. I'm challenging everybody to a $10 money bomb. I'll be making mine in 2.5 hours when I get back home to Hazlitt.
Sounds good to me, brother.
All right, guys, y'all have a great show. Just park me so I can listen to the fun.
Safe trip.
I got it.
There's a lot of noise going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to listen.
I got Kurt Blackwood on here. That Kurt, come on in.
Yeah, hang on. Brother? Let me ask your bullet here. Anyway. Yeah, hey. I'm here.
All right, Kurt, whatever you want to say,
yo,
man, folks.
You know what I want to say. Hey, where's all the garble coming from all of a sudden on the phone here? Anybody besides me picking it up?
Oh, I've got a tremendous amount of it.
Yeah, I got it, too.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it could have been so, Michael when he hooked his speakers up.
Well, okay, anyway. All right, well, you know, hey, you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about Zach. But there's a bigger picture that we're looking at in connection with Zach here than just Zach's campaign. But on the subject of Zach's campaign, let me tell you this, folks. Zach was in Jackson, Tennessee at a gun show for a couple of hours today. And Dave Nance was there as well. Dave stayed longer than Zach did. He got there earlier and stayed later. And Dave described the crowd down there at that gun show as low-hanging fruit. He's walking around there with Zach pushcards, yeah, with Zach pushcards. And a lot of people that he would say something to would say, oh, yeah, I know who Zach is, or, yeah, I've got one of his cards, or I've seen his signs. Some would say, no, who is Zach? You know, well, he's running against Bob Corker. Oh, okay, I'll vote for him. It's just that simple with some of them. Some of them wasn't quite so sure. One guy said, well, what's wrong with Corker? Dave said, well, how about the confirmation of Eric Holder, Jesse Furman? How about the bailouts, cash for clunkers, and gays in the military? Is that enough for you? The guy said, I'll vote for your man. That's enough said right there. So, anyway, I'm not sure where Zach went after the Jackson Gun Show, but he's got a full weekend, or had a full weekend. He's still working on it. But anyway, the campaign is doing good. But we need every ounce of effort that we can get. This race is very winnable. It is very winnable, folks. But the name recognition is what's needed. I don't know how many people are going to turn out to vote in this primary, but there are going to be people that are going to walk in that booth, and they're going to see Bob Corker's name, and they're going to look down at the list and see Zach Foskovich, and they'll say, you know what? I don't know who this guy Foskovich is, but I'm going to vote for him. He's better than Corker. But we can't leave that to chance. Put up every Zach Foskovich sign that you can get your hand on. Get your hands on some push cards. It's these little fold-up cards. And if you don't have any of them and you can do it, and you're in Tennessee, get your hands on somebody in the campaign and get some of those push cards and go to parking lots. Go to your more upscale parking lots, if I may say this. I'll sound like class warfare here, but I'm sorry. I don't go to Walmart. I go to Kroger and the better restaurants, because that's where the people that are paying attention to politics are more likely to be. The conservative folks that will vote in the Republican primary, I put the push cards on the cars in those parking lots. Do everything we can. If you're out of the state of Tennessee and you've got $5 or $10 or $15 or $20 you can spare to send to Zach's campaign, send it post haste, please. We can still buy airtime next week, and this is needed. Okay, now let's look at the bigger picture here. Remember, I said last week, I'm talking about that, and I don't remember what Bing called it when I talked about Corker, Alexander, and Haslam. He called it some kind of try something, but it was cool, whatever it was. I don't remember now. But anyway, Corker, Alexander, and Haslam, they're the Mo, Larry, and Curly of politics in Tennessee, except they're not funny. They're not funny at all. They're dangerous, as a matter of fact. And you all know about our BillHislam.com website. Oh, I forgot to throw his name in the mix. Corker, Alexander. I did say Haslam. Yeah, Corker, Alexander, and Haslam. Yeah, BillHislam.com. You all know about that. And I think you all know about BailoutBob.net. Anyway.
Yeah, I know, Bob.
Haslam and Corker. Haslam and Corker are in bed together. They are so in bed together in this thing, and we need to tie that around Corker's neck for the remaining days of this primary. You know. But there's something out there, folks. This may be old hat to you folks. I don't know. There's a website, and where the heck is it? I'm looking for it now here. And I printed it out. Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm gonna post this on the chat and Blog Talk Radio. Bear with me just a second, okay?
Go ahead, Kurt. I'm having trouble loading up chat myself, but
I'm working on
things happen.
I'm working on this thing. Okay, here we are. Soldier 40. Okay. Paste. Bingo. SultanNishBlogspot.com. Daniel Greenfield is the writer of that blog. I never heard of it until the other day. If you go to that website and scroll down until you find an article called, here again, bear with me, there's a new article shows up every day on this blog. The one I'm speaking of here was published on the 17th of July, Tuesday, July the 17th, this past week. The title of it is How the Left Wins Election by Transforming Nations.
Yeah.
Is anyone here, or all of you may be familiar with it? I don't know. How are you?
I haven't seen it.
This is the first time I've ever heard of the page, and I'm looking at it now.
Okay. Read that particular post on there, How the Left Wins Elections by Transforming Nations. It's a fairly lengthy read. Well, not really so in the grand scheme of things. I picked a couple of paragraphs out of this. This guy, what it's done for me, okay, we've all heard people out there, when we talk to people in public, get out there and talk about the current political situation that we're in now, and someone will say, well, don't they know, and they're referring to the federal government and our elected officials when they said, don't they know that, and you fill in the blank, you know, no manufacturing, you know, all our jobs are going to Mexico or wherever, you know, any nation that doesn't manufacture its own goods is in deep trouble. If there's no manufacturing, there's no income. There's no manufacturing, there's no defense. And here again, people say, don't they know? Yes, they do know. We have evolved to this point as the result of a huge grand scheme, and the lefties and whatever you will start going, you know, conspiracy theories, you know, bull crap. This is not a conspiracy. This is the way it is. When I read this article, I looked back over history and I saw it. It's like working on a big jigsaw puzzle. You sit there and look at it for days on end, and you're not making much progress. And all of a sudden, you see a piece, you know where it goes. And then you see this next piece, you know where it goes. This article put the pieces together for me. Let me read you a couple of excerpts out of it. This will point you quickly to where this guy says, a political party has its base, defining groups who groove to its message, who eat up the red meat that its candidates toss their way. It has the demographic groups which will always vote for it, and those who might swing its way. It knows them by race, gender, age, class, sexuality, home ownership, and a thousand other statistic slices. It has those numbers broken down by state, city, and neighborhoods, so it has a good estimate of its chances of a given place and time based on the demographics of the people who live there. This is how they dissect the election. Another paragraph further on down said, Bertolt Brecht once wrote, some party hack decreed that the people had lost the government's confidence and could only regain it with the red redouble effort. If that is the case, would it not be simple if the government, now listen closely, if the government simply dissolved the people and elected another? I'll let that question sink in for just a minute. Then I'm going to skip on down. This is the very last paragraph of that article. I want to get your attention on this, so you all go and read it, and I want you to start sending it to everybody you know. Demographics is destiny. The left is reshaping countries to match its demographic targets. It is turning nations into one great gerrymandered district composed of populations that are more likely to support it. It is doing this using immigration, economics, social policy, and every tool at its disposal. And if conservatives don't start understanding the demographic game, demographic Game of Thrones, then they will lose the war. This man, in my opinion, has put the pieces of the puzzle together so most anybody should be able to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the left is going to decry, you know, I don't care what they do. This word needs to be spread. One of the key ingredients of this is the Muslim threat. Let me restate that. Not the Muslim threat. The radical Islamic threat, okay? And we've already talked about BillHislam.com, and our governor has them here in Tennessee. But this affects the whole country, folks. This has got to be, something has to be done. I'm on pins and needles this afternoon because I've been getting emails all afternoon long. There's emails flying all across the state here. There's some people, folks, we got some brothers and sisters out there that are working on this thing. I'm not going to call any names. Well, I'll call one because you see his name all over BillHislam.com. That's Dave Vance. That's my brother a couple of counties over here. We've been together in this thing ever since Tea Party started in this area of the country. And Dave is the predominant poster on BillHislam.com. But he and this crowd of people from all over the state are working on this thing. We got 10 counties that have already signed on to the anti-Sharia resolution. These are, when I say counties, I'm talking about GOP groups. The GOP groups, not the Tea Party group, but the Republican Party, 10 counties have signed this resolution, and they're sending it in to the governor and all the rest of the elected officials in the state. We have 9 candidates that are running for office that have signed off on this resolution and tossed it out there. And this is going to win some elections. We got just a little old state representative, state representative race over here for like a 3-county district. One guy, Danny Jowers, signed the resolution. His opponent, John Stevens, would not sign it because he didn't find it politically expedient. The reason that is, he's hooked up with the crowd out of Jackson, Tennessee, Madison County, that's tied into the Haslam Corcoran Alexander. So John Stevens is not going to pull any, you know, he's not going to make any waves with the sitting governor. This is going to cost him that election. This is a small potatoes election, but it's going to be big in the end game here, because this is how we will switch state governments from the situation that they're in now. We get some good conservative people sitting in these state government in Nashville, Tennessee, and other states can do the same thing. And this is focusing.
Well,
the main driving force behind it is the Sharia law thing. Okay.
And that's a great thing. We need to back the conservatives that are going up against this. We need to. Because if we don't, we will be under Sharia law.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at Great Britain. They pretty much already are, you know. Look at, you know, a lot of other countries out there, they already are. I want to get Boyd on here real quick. Kurt, thank you so much.
Yeah, okay.
And,
I'd like to get Boyd on here real quick. I was trying to get Daphne back on here because Daphne did call in, but let me just preface that. Daphne Tremaine is actually George Monahan, who wrote a novel. And what it was basically about is George wanted to write something that would be against the liberals and just to hit the liberals real hard, show them how stupid they are and so on, which they are. And he set up, you know, greentremaine.com. And hopefully he'll call back here. He said he was having trouble getting on, but he's a great guy to talk to. Mm-hmm. I know Boyd was chasing him around our site because he logged on there, and I actually let him on. Her on. I thought it was her. And it was like just a big joke, really. And the thing is that, you know, a day or two earlier, I sat there and was listening to Phil Valentine or some talk show, and they had that, they were talking about, you know, how crazy and a kook she was. Well, he emailed me and about, I don't know, 20, 30 other Tea Party leaders and so on. And I'm thinking, how crazy is this woman if she's going to email me when I run a forum, you know, when I can post anything I want. And so it was good spirited fun. And, I'd like to get him on here, man, if we can, you know, if he'll call back in. But he said he's having trouble getting in, so.
Yeah, anyway. You know, there is a way that, you know, if you can private whisper the number to me, I can always try and use the caller guest feature on the studio line.
Yeah, I can do that. You just said if you can call in, you said that might be better. His number is 631, Rick.
Actually, send that to me. Send that to me in DM in the chat room, and I can
try.
Well,
I can't get it. I can't get in the chat room right now. So if you're on Tradam chat, I can do that.
I'm not there.
Well, anyway, if you want to write it down, you can.
Yeah, I'm doing that now.
All right, 631.
Yeah.
871.
871.
9960.
9960.
Yeah, his name is George. Yeah, get him on here. Let's have a duke out, man.
Okay.
Thank you, Rich.
I'll see what I can do.
All right, brother. That's why you're the rock star. Boyd, your mic's hot. Come on, man. Tell me about how you were chasing Daphne around that day. That was fun.
Well, I happen to see all these new posts come in right after the show here from what I assumed was one of the guests that was online that was invited over to Tradam. And these were some wild, wild posts that were coming in by Daphne. So I was just going around looking at all those new posts coming in and just not approving them and kicking them out. And I was having a ball. Yeah, it was.
I know
fun.
You. Yeah, I know you were till I ended up deleting them. Or her, and then I sat there and, you know, he called up or wrote me an email and said, dude, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, you know, like to cause you all this trouble. He just said I was trying to promote my book and so on. And I thought it was funny, man. I called him up. We ended up having a good laugh, and I like what he's doing, you know. I like that. You know, that's creative. That is very creative to me.
Well, I'll tell you what, the posts were so far out there that I almost was wondering if it was a hoax to begin with. But in the meantime, you know, I'm going around saying this is a wild-ass lib and just just killing all the posts I could and having a ball at it, only because you got security so tight over there that, you know, we don't get much action.
Nah, we're locked up tighter than Fort Knox, man. I know that, you know, but that's for a reason. You know, we don't have liberals on there. It's, you know, Tryon is basically a liberal-free zone. So, yeah, people, you know, I think some people like it that way. I think some people like debate, but to me, this is not a debate club.
Bing?
Yes,
I got his wife on. You know, because he said that he's doing a book signing. That started about 10 minutes ago. So I have his wife on hold in the screening room. If you want to talk to her, you know, maybe like reschedule or something. Because just press a little dialogue balloon and you can talk to her in the screening room.
Sally?
Yeah, her name's Sally. Yeah, she asked me if she was going to be... I was going to bring her in, but she asked me if she was going to be on the radio, and I said yeah, and she said she didn't want to be on the air, so, you know, just in case you wanted to talk to her.
Okay, thank you, Rick.
No problem.
Hey, yeah, and Brother Fang, while you got her on the phone, just ask her if George is having a tough time sitting down, because I do know I poked a couple of holes in his butt with my little 50 cal up here on the wall.
Hey, Rick, can you have fun for a little bit while I go talk to him?
Hey, I always have fun on here, my friend. Hey, you should hear
All
the
right,
go.
I'll be right back, man.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. So anyway, I was having fun running around, chasing her down and blocking her posts and stuff. I knew I could have banned her right away, but, you know, Bing doesn't let us get much target practice over there.
Man. Oh, you should see me on my show. I mean, I always have fun with people of these stripes on my show. Especially a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, Fred, if you like, you're more than welcome to call in to my show this coming Saturday and talk about Trad Am as well.
I'd love to.
No, great. Yeah. Yeah. It's every Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, and I had heard that you have Skype. So if you like, you can give me your Skype address, and I can add you, so we can talk later on in the week about it.
Yeah, I'm 1342 Hoodoo.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely add you. And you to it, and I will, and we'll come up with something, you know. I mean, like, I don't know how busy you are, you know. So if you just want to do like a short 15-minute or stay the entire show.
I really appreciate that. Can you give me your Skype contact name?
Sure. My Skype contact is Rick Bulow 74.
I'm back.
Rick Bulow 74. Okay, I'll put you in my contact.
Yeah, Rick Bulow 74. And Michael had just pinged me saying that, you know, just letting, you know, to, you know, to bring him on if I can, and he'll help fill in. Unless, of course, Bing's back.
I know. It's Michael's show, man.
Okay,
let him back in.
So let me just pull him out of the... Yeah. So
no, man. It ain't my show, Brother Bing. It's our show, my brother. It's our show.
It's your show, man.
Hey, I was just...
Show,
no, man. Well, I,
I
okay, but...
Look, I'm like the Jerry Lewis to the Dean Martin, okay?
No, no, it's Jerry Lewis, and Jerry Lewis is what it is. I ain't no Dean Martin, man. No, I was gonna while you were speaking with that, I was gonna jump in. You guys got a great show. You know, hey, real quickly though, while you got me on, and then I'm sitting here in the back of my van. My wife's driving. My daughter's in the front seat. I got a little sausage tray here from the old smokehouse in New Braunfels, Texas, with some homemade smoked cheese and some homemade venison sausage some really good peppered beef, and I'm cutting it with my Scottish skindew, which is y'all remember that part of Braveheart where, you know, when he's riding up there after the wife gets killed and he pulls the little deer horn out of his sleeve. And stabs the guy in the throat with a skindew, which is a little small Scottish knife. It's you hide them on your person somewhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm sitting here and I'm drinking a Shiner Pale Ale in the back of my van. Found my headphones, just enjoying the show. You guys are really doing a great job, Bing and Fred and TB and Rick. You guys, but real quickly, while you got me back on, man, I want to encourage everyone. When they get a chance, before we get to talk tonight or next Sunday or whenever during the week, go to Engage America. Just Google Engage America and sign up for it. I want to tell you all a little bit about it. It's a system. There's these three entrepreneurs. The guy wouldn't tell us who they are. All he would tell us or tell me is that one of them is a former Chrysler executive. They're the right side of a Jordan. I guess you might say they're on our side, but they're the opposite of George Soros. Three unnamed entrepreneurs who have hired a couple of tech gurus, and they have developed this website. And what it does is set up your profile, you tell it what news articles you want it to send you every day, and then you have a private email box where not you and I can email one another, but where they email you news articles from everywhere, all the blogs, all of the news agencies, everything, and that are based on the parameters of news that you're looking for. And then you go in and review them, and then if this is something that you want to push, from there you can tweet it, Facebook it. It's a remarkable system. It is great for us conservative info pushers. This is the best tool that I've ever run across. And I guarantee you guys, it's going to take me from where I am now, which, you know, is okay. It's taking me to that next level. I'm taking this conservative info pushing to the next level. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and Kurt and Fred and Bing, you guys in Tennessee, you could designate it to send you news articles strictly on Bob Corker. And you don't have to go Google and look for that. These guys are going to find the information for you and send you the link. And then the thing is and what I didn't realize, and what we've got to start doing is we need to, if we don't have an account and it requires one, or you can't do a Facebook discussion on the news link, like say it's at MSNBC, for instance, one of their blogs, and you want to debunk whatever that article says, we all have to start posting our remarks respectfully. Very respectfully, but we need to start putting remarks in the discussions underneath those news articles, debunking the BS or applauding it if we agree with it. And as because you've got people that read that stuff that only read that left trash. They don't read stuff from the right. So they're inundated. And you'd be surprised. We've all done it. We've all converted at least one lefty by pointing out the facts respectfully to them, and they go, man, I didn't realize that. That's how we do it. And yep. we all have great, huge networks. I mean, Bing, you and Fred have one of the biggest. I've got, you know, 600 friends on Facebook. I got 900 or so on Twitter. My network's kind of small. But, you know, it's the power of compounded activism. I tweet it to my 900. That 900 tweets it to their 900, so on and so forth.
You know, it didn't take a lot of people to sit there and win the Revolutionary War, really, when you think about it. So it just takes a lot of concerted effort on people.
Yeah, a lot of elbow grease.
And Michael, I got your brother here, and my brother, Danny South, I'm here.
Well, let me say hello real quick to Brother Shouse, and then you guys part me, and I'm enjoying the ride through Texas from one end to the other. And Brother Shouse, my Brother Shouse, I thought about all of y'all, but you specifically, and all the Kentucky Long Rifles that were present a couple of hundred years ago on the very grounds that I just got off of.
Well, that's great. And, hey, what was that website again?
It's Engage America, and you're going to love it, Brother Shouse. Engage America. Sign up.
All right.
Hey, Michael.
So, did you have a good time down there?
Oh, we had a blast, my brother. I say a blast. I mean, Angela and I, we got to have a little bit of just alone time with one another, walk the river walk, you know, and whatnot. I got up yesterday morning. I woke up at 5:30 and laid in bed till 7. It was all I could do not to wake her up. And just sat there and scrolled through Facebook and collected my thoughts, getting ready for the day. Finally got her up, and I went ahead of Bloody Mary and some breakfast tacos. You guys probably saw the picture I posted. Sitting on the river walk, it was a bit muggy, but it was cool. San Antonio River Walk's beautiful. But just being on those hallowed grounds, man, you know, people from Tennessee, from Kentucky, my forefathers and mothers, y'all's ancestors, they came here and helped us to win a republic that later became the 28th state of our great union. And, you know, if Texas was its, you know, right now, Canada right now, the average income per capita per person is greater than ours. For the first time ever in our history, Canadians are richer than Americans. A Canadian family is better off than an American family. And, you know, no thanks to Obama not letting the Keystone come down here. But we're not doing well. We're sick. Our country is sick. And we've got a very nasty freaking virus. And it's called Obama. And, you know,
well,
if Texas were... I'm not as a... Yeah, exactly, Brother Shouse. And I'm not a secessionist by any stretch of the imagination. I believe in America, and I want Texas, Texas needs to remain a part of America. But if we were our own country, our economy is so good right now. We're doing good in Texas. Life is good down here for us, as opposed to my brothers and sisters elsewhere in the country. And it's good because, you know, I'll use California and Texas as an example. Two of the biggest states, two of the largest populations with the most natural resources outside of Alaska, the two longest coastlines. I mean, they're two very similar states. One is very left socialist, nanny to grave government. One is very free market, capitalist, Republican state. We're doing fabulous. California's going broke. They're declaring bankruptcy. They've had three cities in California already declare bankruptcy. Now,
we're going on five.
Yeah. Going on five. And, you know, I don't mean to sound braggish about Texas. I love all my brothers and sisters across this country. Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida, New York. I don't care where it is. But the example is in the form of government and the way that we tax or we don't tax. And in Texas, we don't, I mean, yeah, we have taxes, but we tax very little. We encourage people to be self-sufficient. You know, we kind of, who was it, Henry Thoreau, maybe Kurt can help me out on this, not Thoreau, but his compadre that taught about self-reliance. And that's what we practice here in Texas, self-reliance. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And we do that in our government as well, and it shows in our economy. And if we were our own country right now, we would be one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And it's based on the way that we treat entrepreneurs. And, you know, our Washington, D.C. could stand to learn a lot from our state in the way we handle that.
So anyway, enough of my soapbox. You know, you guys got your show going on. I'm content to listen.
Well, that's fine. I got a couple questions. What amendment gives us the right to free speech? For one,
the first.
Okay, what gives us the right to protect that free speech?
The second.
Okay, I might disagree with you a little bit, because those are the endowed rights from our Creator. They are not rights.
Good point. Good
see
point.
What I mean?
You got me. Yeah, those rights aren't given to us. I stand corrected. Those
and
are our rights.
We don't think about that, man. We don't think about that a lot.
And they enumerate rights, our rights.
They are God-given and alienable rights. And
absolutely.
That's what Zach Poskowitz talks about. And that's what we have to get into our, I guess, thick skulls, you know? That even as conservatives, we don't understand sometimes the rights that are given to us by God. We don't understand, you know? And we have to be able to understand to be able to relay them to other people. But I thought I'd throw that out to you, brother. But I have another question. On the Alamo, when you got to it, did you think it was, like, weird because it's, like, all encased in or it was when I went there. It's, like, it's all fenced in and everything else, and it just seems small or something. It doesn't look like the movies.
Well, and no, it doesn't, because what happened, you know, really we're quite fortunate that the Alamo didn't get tore down. It was in the early 1900s when the Daughters of the Republic. I am what you call a son of the Republic of Texas. I am a card-carrying member, and you have to prove lineage back to a relative that came before December 28, 1945. And I've got about 20 of them. The sister organization to the Sons of the Republic of Texas is the Daughters of the Republic of Texas, and they're actually one of the first genealogical. They actually came before everyone else here in Texas, and the Daughters, they actually saved the. I can't do it right at the moment, babe. They actually saved the Alamo from being tore down. They bought it for pennies on the dollar, and they made it a state historical spot. Well, you know, San Antonio grew up around it. So, for instance, my hotel was across the street, and it was kind of like in, I want to say, the northeast corner. So if you were to look at a map of the Alamo from the 1836 entrenched area in relationship to where what the picture you think of when you think of the Alamo, the mission, the church, okay? The area where the fortified area was in front of that structure, that famous Alamo picture, okay, the facade of the Alamo, it was in front of that. And it was a pretty large area. It was fortified by embankments and wooden fences. So what you have now in present-day Alamo, that whole area is a couple of streets and buildings, okay? And the Alamo itself, the church, the old mission, is the only real structure remaining from 1836. The barracks, which is that stone wall that runs along the mall, what we call the Alamo Mall or the plaza, which is where there's a big statue that was erected on the centennial birthday, which would have been 1936. And I don't have the quote in front of me or I would read it. I probably can find it here while I'm not going to look for it because I don't want to accidentally hang up. But there's an inscription on it that talks about what Bonham and Crockett, and it's got the name of every single man that died in defense of the Alamo on this sculpture that has the likeness of Travis and of Bowie and of Crockett and Bonham, and then just other figures depicting various men. So the stone wall that runs along the plaza now, where what we call the Alamo Barracks where where Bowie was held up, all right, and where the men slept and whatnot. That is not the original barracks. The original barracks was out on what is now Alamo Street. So the daughters saved the Alamo from being torn down by developers, and they just took stones that were around from the old barracks, and they built what you see today within the confines of what you see today. So it's much smaller. Really, the only thing that's original, when you look at the Alamo, the only thing that's original from 1836 is the mission itself. Anywhere you walk in front of that mission, you're walking where men died, where men shed blood. That's all street and plaza and buildings now. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could probably, if you dug hard enough, you could probably pick up a stone and put it in your pocket and carry it home with you. Interestingly enough, my fourth great grandfather, his name was George Terrell, who came from Paris, Tennessee. I've had this discussion with Kurt before. He got his attorney. He became an attorney in Paris, Tennessee. And then he came to Texas in 1839. He was the attorney general there in Tennessee in 1833 underneath Sam Houston when Sam Houston was y'all's governor. He followed Houston because he was personal friends with Sam Houston. He was Sam Houston's personal attorney. He followed him to Texas, and he came with, you know, his family, and he set up shop in East Texas, which East Texas is the cradle of Texas, Nacogdoches, that area. That's considered that's where all the Anglos came to from America. And, you know, we couldn't even get mail from the states into Texas. They had to go over to Natchitoches in Louisiana to pick up their mail and bring it back to Texas. But anyway, long story short, he came to Texas, and he was Sam Houston's attorney general in his second administration from 1840 to 1844. And I've got letters where he talks about, see, during the 1842, we were invaded again by, you know, people only know about the Alamo of March 5th, 1836. But in 1842, the Alamo was taken three more times by the Mexicans. So, you know, there were several more battles for the Alamo after that. And we call them the invasions of 1842. I mean, it was an ongoing struggle here. We whooped Santa Ana in 1836. You know, finally he signed the treaties of Alaska. He went back. We sent him back in the spirit of kindness, the kind of people that we are, Anglos, the kind of people we are. We sent him and his army home after what they had done to us, raped, pillaged, and plundered our people. We sent them home in the spirit of kindness. To live their lives. And, you know, he was deposed, he was exiled, then he came back into power, and in 1842 he tried again, we whooped his butt again, got expelled again, he came back into power, and then by the time he came back into power the third time, or fourth time, whatever it was, Polk was our president. He had sent, we were the 28th state in the Union, Polk sent troops down to the Guadalupe, down in Brownsville, and picked a fight with the Mexicans, on purpose, and that started the Mexican-American War of 1846, which enabled us to take our great country from the Atlantic Ocean clear across to the Pacific. That's how we got New Mexico, Arizona, and California. So that was the Gadsden land deal or whatever. I forget what it's called now. My history from there on is not as good as it is just Texas history. But that's where we were, to answer your question, being if I answered it, I don't know, I started on a rant. I do that sometimes.
You do?
Yeah.
It was a Gadsden purchase, just for your information.
Yeah, thank you. Who is this? Is that Fred?
That's Fred,
that's me,
yeah.
Yeah, the Gadsden purchase, thank you. Exactly. So a lot of history here. But you know what? I guess the point I'm making is, you know, it sounds like I'm talking up Texas. If it were not for the great volunteer state, if it were not for Kentucky, if it were not folks from Alabama, South Carolina, from all over this great country, Texas would have never become the republic, and then thus, I mean, I'm sure that it would have eventually happened. But Texas is like America. It's like every state's a snapshot of America, and Texas is as just like any other. You know, where we fought for our freedom in 1776 in the American Revolution, those sons and grandsons that came to Texas of those Revolutionary War heroes did it again. And they did it almost the exact same way. The wars, the battles were a little different. But it took people from Tennessee. I know my people came from Tennessee. That's how they came to Texas. It took people from Kentucky. It took Danny's ancestors. And, you know, Texas, I'm off to say that, you know, as Texas goes, so does the GOP, because we're such a red state. But, you know, if it were not for our brothers and sisters, y'all's ancestors, I don't know that I would be sitting here having this conversation with y'all today.
In the back seat of a truck. Or a van or whatever.
You know, we still might be, we might still be a northern state of Mexico, if not for folks from Tennessee, I guess is what I'm saying, or Kentucky, or from wherever that came here and did it again, you know, fought for that independence again.
Well, we appreciate and we do love our Texas brothers, and we love all of our southern brothers, so in this fine state of Tennessee anyways, and we appreciate the help that we've got over the years. Michael, I know you are hyped up, man, and I'm sitting there trying to get a visual of you in the back seat of a van or something, you know, cruising on the road. Just trying to get a visual.
I'll take a picture of it and put it on Facebook, because you should see me. I've got my one little seat here. I'm sitting beside the door. I've got a little cooler sitting right beside me with some stuff on it and beer in my hand. I got my earplugs in, connected to my iPhone, listening to you guys do a great show, and looking out upon the great Texas landscape. Man, can't beat it. Wish you guys were with me.
Hey, Michael.
Oh, we are in spirit,
yes,
Michael.
Yep,
Michael.
Sounds like he's tuned up there, Rick.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Boyd in Alaska.
Hey, Boyd, how's it going, brother?
Good. I just got a question for you.
Well, I'll try to answer the best I can.
Okay, buddy. If Alaska had an earthquake and split it right down the middle, what would that do to Texas?
Oh, shit. If it split Alaska in half, I'm sure we'd feel it. It might help our economy a little bit, since you guys got more oil than us.
No.
But it would probably bring us down, because then we wouldn't have it to refine.
Nah, it'd just make Texas the third largest state in the Union.
All right,
I can't help tweaking my brothers from Texas.
Man, that's a good one. I love that. I'm going to remember that one.
My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my son, my granddaughter. Everybody lives down there except me and my wife.
Well, you know, speaking of Alaska, this is a fine example of what this administration and how they're ruining and nationalizing our, you know, Alaska proved, Boyd, when was the Alaskan pipeline built, in the 70s?
Yeah, 75 through 78 or 79.
And I don't think I don't believe it's impacted. In fact, I don't think one freaking caribou's died from it.
No, not really. The caribou up on the North Slope, that herd up there has actually increased in size since then. One of the reasons is the whole Prudhoe Bay Park and the other fields that are up there are strictly no hunting zones.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Who,
so
who's
here.
That by? The EPA, most likely.
No, that was. Let's see who did that. I don't know, but you know,
well,
there's also
donut from the EPA.
That could be, but you know, I can't remember exactly who set the lines up. Besides the, I think the oil companies themselves did it, because all along the pipeline corridor, you cannot fire a weapon within 1 mile of the pipeline.
And that's understandable.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for that. But we've already got a working model that's 40 years old. Imagine what we could do. While Obama thinks we need to set up a commission, when we've already done this, we've already been down this road with technology 40 years old, and we're not, and this man, you know, I think I heard on the news the other day that in Canada they're saying that they're looking at about 110,000 jobs from the Keystone Pipeline project they got going now.
Yeah. Yeah, here's another thing, you know, environmentally built, the pipeline has withstood everything and more of what all the tree huggers were afraid of. In fact, we had an earthquake probably 10-12 years ago, right along the pipeline corridor up there by Denali. And the surveyors had been going out and starting to GPS it and actually get, you know, GPS readings. Well, some of the old-time surveyors actually think the pipeline is well over 13 feet from its original placement in some areas. But they can't prove it because all of the witness posts and everything else all moved with it when it moved. And so,
well, you know, when we sit there, boys, and want to invest, I mean, we've got the infrastructure to do this, okay? But when we sit there and want to invest in things that people don't want, you know, like electric cars that get you, what, 45 miles? I mean, that's enough to get me to the next gas station. When we got people that want to invest the government, I guess it is, that wants to invest in solar energy that fails. How many of these companies that need to go bankrupt before people see it? How many?
You know, it's everybody has blinders on.
It doesn't work. I mean, the technology is out there. Let the free market decide. Let the free market dictate what gets bought, what gets sold, what moves, what pushes.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's like the natural gas up here. We have a tremendous supply of natural gas up on the North Slope. And people have been wasting time and money and effort to try and get a gas pipeline built. A few years ago, just before Sarah became governor up here, our previous governor, Murkowski, had a deal all set up to get that thing built. And when she came in, she scratched it and blah, blah, you know, a bunch of other things, and started her own pipeline commission and stuff to try and, you know, work out the details and stuff. Well, since that time, okay, what's happened is that shale gas and everything else, new discoveries in the Gulf and everything else, has brought the price of natural gas down so low that there isn't going to be a corporation out there that will build the pipeline up, because they'll never get their money back out of it because of the pricing of natural gas. And there are a ton of people up here who cannot get that through their stinking head, that we're not going to make it, that we're not going to get it because, you know, there's no demand. Although the oil companies have not released any of that gas, we've had gas up on it.
Well, we got 15 minutes left in the show. I'm gonna. All the lines are open as far as I know. Teresa.
Yeah.
I hear music.
Hey, Teresa.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like that beer drinking Texan has got his music.
I can't understand.
I said it sounded like that beer drinking Texan in that van had his music blaring in that van.
While yeah, either that or Teresa did, one of the ones.
Yeah, because I know I got everything muted here.
But I wanted to get Teresa on here just to give us a quick, in the last remaining seconds of the show here, well, we got 14 minutes. Teresa, Twitter queen, can you give us a tweet twit or tweet tip for the week?
The number one tip that I can give people, especially when I'm been seeing with different streams tweeting for candidates is that they'll try to reach, you know, a very influential tweeter, and then they'll put their tweet handle first in the tweet and then, you know, post whatever it is that they want to say to them. But they forget to take and put something in front of that at symbol. So if you put something like a period before an at symbol, then it will go to every single person's follower that from that tweet handle. Otherwise, if you don't, it'll just go to the people that you have in common. So if you're going to tweet to Mark Levin, and you're trying, the reason why you're trying to tweet to Mark Levin is to reach his followers, you're not going to get there unless you put you know, a couple words in front of the at symbol and the first thing in the tweet box. So I see that over and over again, and you can really expand your reach on Twitter by doing that one simple thing, and it's, you'll see it occasionally on Twitter. It will be the people who have been tweeting for a long time that do that. So if you really want to expand your reach on Twitter, start putting a period, just even a period in front of the at symbol if that's the first thing you're going to put in the tweet box.
Great tip. Teresa,
yeah.
you are doing some great stuff for Zach Poskovich. And I got to tell you, man, I just applaud you. I don't know how you do it. I mean, you are all over the board sometimes. I'm sitting here looking at you going, what? You know, you're all over the place. So kudos, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're doing, keep it up because
yeah,
it's worth.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. It's going to work for you if you put the time into it. And then share, you know, your ideas and your tips and what have you with the other people that you're tweeting with. So, you know, we've got the Facebook group, ConservaTweets, where we, it's a group of several, I don't know if we're about 80 people now. And several of the people, you know, from Zach's campaign and a handful of others from Kane's former campaign. It's a
mm-hmm.
a Facebook group that I started, and then John LaRosa and Brad Marston, you know, came on and became admins for the site as well. So we got lots of tips in there in our files. We've got Twitter, you know, all of our Twitter handles there. If you want to promote a candidate, you know, a conservative candidate, come on into the website. It's called ConservaTweets. It's an open group, so you can. Find it on Facebook search, and we've been supporting several candidates throughout the country, you know, Massachusetts and Texas, and of course here in Minnesota, and, you know, in California, and just everywhere, and, you know, come on the group, and, you know, we've got several people on there now from Own the Narrative, and...
Mm-hmm. A wonderful tweeter from there is at Tony Katz Maine,
uh-huh.
And he is like the hashtag king.
Yeah, hashtags
yes,
can be...
Yes, a lot
you know,
of that I can't figure out.
The
I mean,
hashtag is really something that you've got to be very consistent with, and you can't just create one and expect it to take off. You've really got to... If you're really trying to expand your reach, these are the first two things that you really need to do. Find the hashtags everybody's using. It's kind of like the house address. You know, this is where this topic is living. You know, be it TCOT or CVN, which is Conservative Voice Network, or a number of the other ones, Tea Party. you know, those kind of tags if you want to expand your reach and get a new audience. You know, picking up a tweet here and there, that's something that you got to be really consistent with. You can't just go, oh, well, let's pick up a tag and try to make a trend. It's a very difficult thing to do. But you know, I know what Rick's talking about, where you'll the one that's going right now is I Stand With Bachman over the whole thing with, you know, calling out the people who are supporting Sharia law right now. And those kind of things can take off without a group of people jumping on that tag and really hammering it. You need a good dozen or so people doing that that have a big audience. But for campaign, the best thing to do is to stick with the tags and the audience that you're trying to reach on a specific topic. Like today, Zach was at a gun show, a gun and knife show. Use the tag NRA or OGA or things like that so you can at least get into that audience and tap into that base that may not know anything about Zach Poskupich. So the hashtag is something that wasn't inherent in itself in Twitter. It was started organically with the users trying to find each other. But the other thing, too, with the hashtag is that you don't want to use too many of them in a tweet because people will scroll by them because it doesn't – it just kind of breaks up how you read it. Because Twitter is so that you don't have to tag anything really anymore unless you're trying to find a specific, like, you know, get on Peacock or the Orca or any of the other, you know, people that are consistently tweeting with something like that.
Really great advice. And also remember that when you know, if you are on a campaign or you are tweeting on behalf of somebody else, that, you know, you have to be careful what you say.
Exactly.
So, you know, because you are representing them. So, but yeah, great tips, man. And I'm just a newbie to it. I don't even, you know, I can set up websites and stuff, but I can't use Twitter. It's just like, I just can't figure it out. I don't know what it is. It's just something about me, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I got an essential beginner's guide to Twitter that I had downloaded that I can toss your way. Maybe even posit it on Tradam.
I could use any help I can, Brother Rick. I mean, you know, follow Fridays. I'm still trying to figure that out. I'd like to follow, you know, post these things. But anyways, you know, we're getting low on the minutes here. I want to go through whoever's left on here and just get their opinions and, you know, that kind of thing. Teresa, great. Teresa, thank you so much. Rick, thank you so much. And Michael texted me. He dropped off, I think. I don't know if his beer can or something got in the way of his signal or whatever on his cell phone. But, but hey, man, kudos to Michael. You know, the dude is out there doing stuff. So, you know, I got the greatest regards for Michael. I call him up and say, dude, I'm so nervous. You know, he said, don't worry about it. He said, I was nervous, you know, first time, whatever, you know, and that kind of thing. And the same thing with Zach. You know, I talked to Zach and I said, you know, we got the radio show and that kind of thing going. And he's like, oh, you're doing great, man. You're doing great. You know, the guy is just a great supporter. And I can't say enough about Zach Poskupich. I mean, he stayed at my house two nights. I mean, I know a little bit about the dude, I think. So I'm just saying the guy is a constitutional conservative. So I think we need to stand up for him. I'm going to go down the line here. Fred, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Fred, any parting remarks?
Just get everybody that wants to talk to everybody else on the traditional American movement, and we'll have fun.
Yeah, we got the post-game show on the Tradam chat, so log on there if you can. I'll try to authorize you if you're not registered or whatever. There is like a little question thing down at the bottom that you have to scroll down to get to. Rick, my brother, you know. Rick, Rockstar Rick.
Yeah,
well, Michael,
yeah, Beck always says that.
What's that?
I don't know. I don't know. I had heard some beeping, and it wasn't that loud.
Well, Rick, I wish Daphne would have called in today.
I know they
did a couple times, but we'll get them on next week.
And like I said earlier, you know, both you and Fred are more than welcome to call into my show this Saturday and talk of traditional American, you know, Trad Am.
Yeah, I missed it today. Yesterday.
It was a good show. I mean, yeah, we had like a miniature round table, you know. And yesterday we only had like 52 listening live, you know. So we're trying to get more people in.
Wow, the rock star Rick Below, Teresa. next to you, girl.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You know, just what I
wanted to co-host.
Goes back to Right Online from this year. It was something Hugh Hewitt said, and it kind of ties everything in with all the different networks that we have going on here, be it Trad Am or Own the Narrative, or you know, groups on Facebook or groups of people tweeting. Is that, you know, conservatives, you know, it's hard to get us all under one umbrella, but it's going to be a learning curve for us all, and we all need to support each other, especially, you know, just go to the websites that we've, you know, talked about, Traditional American Movement, go to OTN, Own the Narrative Network, sign up. You don't necessarily have to participate on most of those websites, but it's just good to know what other people are saying in those communities and just make your, you know, just get together and start working together. That's the one thing that I've found to be a little bit more difficult with these different groups, that it's just, it's my group and I don't want anybody else to take it over, or I don't want to join a different website. That kind of mindset we've got to put aside in order to really, really push this next election to our side this time. So that's my ending remark.
Yeah, you got that down pat, because that's what it is. A lot of other groups they want to keep their autonomy and that kind of thing. And if you come on Trad Am, if you come on any other website, really, you can keep your own autonomy. So, it's not a big deal. Aaron, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
I would just say. Yeah, I mean, I did. So, first, thank you very much for reading the boss part. And I thought you did a great job. And I think this is a great forum because people can just talk. And I think that, relative to what you were saying even before I came on, you know, I think we need to, you know, we need to keep fighting back and speaking out and. Whoever made the comment, someone made the comment at the very beginning about, the Obama daughter and the Secret Service and so forth. And, it's a very apt comment. You know, if regular people had, you know, guns in the theater, it's possible that the damage might not have been nearly as
right.
It would have been a tragedy, but it might not have been quite as bad a tragedy, and, you know.
Well, thank you, Aaron, so much for your blog and everything. Kurt, real quick, can you do it?
Yeah, man. Okay. You said something about Zach spending a couple nights at your house, and that triggered something in my mind. Others may have done this, but I'm not aware of them. Zach is the only guy, only candidate I know, especially running for a federal office, that has spent a bunch of nights in a bunch of different people's homes across the state since this campaign started. And that's worth a lot right there. You know, guys, people that go out and say, oh, yeah, I know Zach. He spent the night at my house last night. And people are like, wow, he did, you know, man? And when you tell people you know this guy and he spent the night at my house, et cetera, et cetera, that's worth a lot to other people.
Right. Boy, go ahead.
Hey, I'm getting ready to do something.
Real quick.
I've got a plug. I'm gonna I've got to plug another radio station and another site for all you guys that are out there blogging and stuff. And while you're listening, while you're blogging, if you want to listen to some good music,
10 seconds.
I'm gonna charge you, give you the site to Big Dog Music Radio, and their musicians are all conservative radio music, all genre of the music and everything. So while you're blogging and writing emails and posting, there's something that's really good music to listen to.
Cool. Thank you. Our outro for today. That won't play. I guess we're over.
Guess we're over.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear you. Bye.
I'll figure out how this works, man.
Yeah, the only ones who can hear you are the ones on the Skype call now. You know, the ones who called in.
Oh, so the show's over. Nobody else can hear us.
Nobody would hear this conversation unless they were listening to the archival.
Yeah.
Or on this call as a listener.
I wanted to play some outro music, man. I didn't get a chance to. I will.
You can always play the outro music anyway.
Hey. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm careful about what I'm touching here, Rick.
Well, just tell me the song you want, and I can try and play it.
Queen, Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah, that ain't on here. Yeah, that's not on. Yeah, that's not on this one. But there is a good one from D Rock, The Colors I Fly.
Oh, that's fine.
That's a good one. I was going to say D Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, just.
And Michael said he'd end the episode and then copy the link.
Yeah,
I don't see the link.
Do you want me to play that D Rock song and then we can end it?
Yeah, sure. Go.
Okay.
Thank you, Terry.
Welcome.
Rick and Teresa, I appreciate an actual beautiful song, man.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a story behind it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have them on.
Be who we want to be. Pursuing happiness. Living the American dream.
Okay, I'll see you guys over at Strat AM. I'm going to get off of here.
Okay.
Bye.
Got to ask me, you know what color I'm